Welcome to Farmers Inside Track. Weekly, we unpack the essential aspects of agricultural practices to help farmers maximize productivity and efficiency. I'm your host, Dawn Namdu, and in this episode, we're exploring the connection between grass species and pasture management. Joining us is Ntokozo Msiza, a PhD candidate in animal science, specializing in grass species selection for pasture management. Today, we'll be discussing the different types of grass species available for pasture management, considering factors such as climate, soil type, and intended livestock. Ntokozo, thank you so much for joining me on Farmers Inside Track. It is such a pleasure to have you with me. I'm always excited to speak to new people that I'm, you know, recently connected with in the sector, and you're one of them. So maybe you can tell us where your journey started in agriculture and what attracted you to the industry, and also just more about the work that you do day to day.
Thank you so much, Dawn, and thank you for having me. My love for agriculture started back in 2009. That was the time when I was still in high school, and that is when I actually decided that I would want to pursue a career in sciences, of which I was very specific as to it being agriculture. So after I finished matric, I was supposed to go to the University of Limpopo to do my BSc in agronomy, but unfortunately, I couldn't go there. So I then had to take a gap year, and then I gave myself an opportunity to apply to as many institutions that I could, of which the University of Forte was able then to accept me for a BSc in animal and pasture science. So it was basically a degree whereby I was a double major studying both animal and pasture science. So after I finished my first degree in 2018, I then decided that I should actually pursue my postgrad studies. So I came to the Northwest University to do my master's in animal science, of which my research specialization was specifically on planted pastures. So today I'm currently doing my PhD. I'm on my fourth year of PhD, and I am enjoying what I do, which is research.
Absolutely amazing. Wow, your journey has been so beautiful, and thank you so much for what you're contributing, and also just so interested to know more about what drew you in the first place. But I would like to kind of just get into the topic for today. I'm sure we can do another interview more about your life journey as well on another occasion. Today we specifically want to talk about, you know, grass species selection for pasture management, and we really want to get into, you know, discussing the different types of grass species suitable for pasture management, you know, considering factors such as the climate and the soil type and intended livestock. As a start, I'd like to maybe just ask you to explain to us how climate influences the selection of grass species for pasture management, and how do different grasses adapt to varying climatic conditions?
So basically, when we look at field management systems, we know that they are very vulnerable to both climate change and climate variability. This is mainly because of the fact that the rainfall and the temperature, they are key determinants of the field productivity, which is the growth of the grasses. With higher inter-annual variability, this then creates a large fluctuations in forage supply. It further represents a challenge now for livestock management. When we look at higher temperatures, then combined with the drought, both of these factors actually have a significant influence on the forage quality and the quantity. So in addition to these other climatic parameters, which would be your rainfall and your climate and your temperature, we find that it is very important to note that the productivity of the field would also be influenced by the combined impact of grazing and the stocking strategies that come with it. So which means, when it comes to the decision making of how many animals are placed, maybe let's say in a camp for grazing, it can actually enhance the livestock production, or it can influence the less production aspect of the livestock. So when we look at the common pastures that are normally used, we look at Sengrass Silurus, which is the buffalo grass. There is Scurus Guyana, which is Rhodes grass. There's Panicum maximum, which is the guinea grass. There is Digitara arianta, which is the finger grass, and there's Eragrostis kivula, the weeping love grass. So these are normally the five most common grasses that are normally found in most fells of South Africa. So the selection of these generally is based on the soil type, because some grasses, they grow well in clay loam type of soil. Some, they grow very well in sandy or alkaline type of soil, such as Chloris Guyana. And we also have grasses that actually grow very well in soil types that have good drainage. And then some, basically, they grow well in very fertile soil. So the soil type definitely has an effect, and the water requirements as well, because some grasses actually thrive in climates whereby there's a low type of rainfall, and others, they thrive well in regions that have a high rainfall.
Thanks so much. You've actually in part answered my next question, when it comes to considering soil type variability, and what are the key, grass species recommended for sandy soils versus clay soils in pasture management, but also how do these species contribute to soil health and stability?
Depending on whether this pasture is a native grass or maybe it is a legume grass. So with legume grass, they are able to contribute to the production of nitrogen in the soil. So you'd find that instead of you adding fertilizer to the land where you would be planting these pastures, then you would rather introduce intercropping, where you would have planted grasses and you would have planted these legume pastures. So when they are planted in one space together, both of these pastures are actually able to complement each other in terms of contributing to the fertility of the soil. So once that happens, then it contributes to the better growth of these pastures and, of course, the soil health, the particular area.
Now, when designing a pasture for specific livestock, what factors should be considered in selecting, grass species? And how do the nutritional needs and grazing habit of different livestock impact, these grass species selection?
When it comes to drawing up that nutritional plan, if I can say for your ruminants, it depends whether you have livestock, which is your cattle, or you have your small stock, that being your goats and sheep. So with small stock, they are normally known as browsers as compared to grazers. So they would browse on trees more than they would graze on grass. So which means if, let's say, you had cattle, cattle would be more suitable for pastures because they do most of the grazing. So you would need to understand the growth stage as to when are you going to introduce your animals to the field. For instance, it's normally good to introduce your cattle to the grasses when they are still at the vegetative stage, simply because the nutritional value of those grasses would still be high as compared to allowing the grasses to grow up until the maturity stage, whereby at the maturity stage, the grasses would be lower in the nutritive value. For instance, crude protein at that time would be much lower. The grasses would also then be very much having high fiber. So for animals to get most out of the grasses, it's usually better at the vegetative growth stage because you know that the crude protein at that level is much more acceptable. There is less amount of fibers because the animals would be grazing more on the leaves as compared to the stems, because the stems of grasses contain more fiber fraction as compared to what the animals would find on the leaves. So yes, that is what you'd basically be looking at. So it's knowing when to introduce your cattle to the field when the grasses are at a vegetative stage.
Another aspect is, the nutritional value of these, grass species. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on that? And also, how do these nutritional profiles vary and what implications do they have for livestock health and productivity?
When we look at the nutrient content of these grasses, we need to understand as to how they basically refer to the forage quality of that grass. So this would mean, are you aware of the protein, the carbohydrates, the fats, vitamins and minerals that are actually found within that grass. Because when we look at the importance of, let's say, protein that is found in pastures, it is basically more about the quantity of the protein as compared to the quality that's there. Because when you find that there's a protein deficiency in that grass, you find that now animals are more susceptible to having nutrition-related diseases. We need to emphasize more on having an adequate amount of protein that should be supplied to these animals for them to grow at a proper stage and also to influence their productivity as well. So for instance, with grasses, the minimum requirement is usually between 120 to 180 grams per kg. And that would basically be more than enough for the animals to actually perform well and to grow at whatever production stage that they may find themselves in. And then secondly, we need to look at the importance of digestibility of that pasture. So that is basically us determining how easily the animals are actually able to break down this grass once it is digested. And if the animals are actually able to extract more of the nutrients from this grass. So it basically now goes back to understanding the fibers or the amount of fibers that are actually found in these grasses. Because we would understand that if the pasture is more fibers, then it would actually be associated to a longer ruminal retention. And then that is basically going to limit the intake rates that these animals would be having on that grass. And then I think lastly, we would also have to look at the animal performance impact, in the sense that as much as you're feeding, as much as you're allowing your animals to graze this pasture, are you actually seeing any important aspects such as better growth rate or higher production, or maybe an improved reproductive efficiency, and just basically an overall better health among your livestock? Because nutrition actually has such a huge influence on the overall health and productivity of these animals. So the moment you see that maybe your animals are actually experiencing some type of nutrition-related diseases, then you would know that there's particular nutrients that are lacking from these animals, which are actually hindering their productivity in general.
In terms of resilience of grazing, you know, pressure, which grasses have proven to be particularly robust and regenerative? And how does these species recover from intensive grazing compared to others?
When it comes to the resilience of grasses, one of the things that we also need to consider is the aspect of the amount of animals that you would be putting in your grazing camp. In the sense that if you find that you have too many animals that you've introduced within one camp, and the carrying capacity of that particular camp is unable to meet the needs of those animals, then that's when you find that your animals can be very selective when it comes to grazing. Because let's say there's a particular grass that looks more appealing or more palatable to the animal, the animal will eventually find themselves overgrazing that particular grass to the point that that grass will not have a chance to rest and be able to actually regrow, because there's just too much pressure on that particular plant. So if we were to look at some of the grasses that are actually able to withstand that type of heavy grazing, so Chloris guyana is actually one of the grasses that is able to tolerate heavy grazing, because it has the ability to actually regrow. It can be able to take up its reserves from the roots and be able to really just grow and be able to photosynthesize so that it can be able to produce as many leaves as it can. So basically, Chloris guyana is one of the grasses that is able to tolerate heavy grazing.
How do invasive grass species impact pasture management, and what strategies can be employed to mitigate their spread? if you could share practical tips there for farmers. And are there native alternatives that can, you know, outcompete these invasive species effectively?
With invasive species, it's if we were to maybe try and explain what an invasive species is, these are basically grasses that can disrupt the pasture management by outcompeting the native grasses. So you find that it then reduces the biodiversity and it basically alters the ecosystem functions. So one of the disadvantages basically that invasive grass species usually have is that they actually contribute towards the degrading soil quality, and they also decrease the forage productivity because they would be fighting for resources with the native species, which then can lead to economic losses for farmers, especially because native grasses are more of the less expensive feed that most farmers actually go to. So in order to mitigate some of these invasive species actually spreading within our native felt, we can use strategies such as mechanical control. So this would be the mowing of, let's say, invasive trees. Those invasive trees are the ones that actually contribute to bush encroachment. And we can also look at the use of chemical control, which is the use of herbicides, where we will just apply that chemical herbicide on a particular invasive species. And then there's also the use of biological control, which would then be the introduction of a natural predator that can be able to compete with that invasive species. So we also have to look at promoting the growth of native grass species, which can be well adapted to those local climates where the invasive species might want to, let's say, overtake in terms of growth as compared to the native grasses. And then I think that is actually where the aspect of planting these pastures actually comes in as well. So yeah, those are some of the strategies that farmers can actually use.
Can you maybe discuss, you know, an emerging grass species or innovative grass breeding techniques that hold promise for improving pasture management? And how might these new varieties address current challenges in sustainable grazing systems?
Currently, there's research that is still ongoing to actually find better breeding techniques for planted pastures, because in our country, there is mostly research that looks at rangeland ecology, which would be the use of the natural felt for grazing animals. So you find that not a lot of people actually look into breeding techniques of pastures because it does not necessarily address the challenges that our communal farmers would be faced with. So currently, research is there that is looking at different breeding techniques for pastures. It's only that currently, I am not too sure as to which pastures specifically that are actually being researched, because most of the research goes into understanding and solving problems in rangeland ecology.
Thank you so much for your time, Ndokozo Mziza, a PhD candidate in animal science, specializing in grass species selection for pasture management. For more insights on optimizing agricultural practices, visit www.foodformzanzi.co.za. Remember to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with fellow agriculture enthusiasts. From me, Don Numdu, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of the hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, until next time, happy farming.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food for Mzanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.